Hello, welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovcovano podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I am looking forward to the return of football.
Yes, me too. Ja taki, moi aussi, ja auch. And I can't think of any other languages. But yes, football is coming back when for us?
Friday.
Yes, wake up.
I'm very tired today.
Yeah, you've only just arrived though, haven't you?
Yeah.
Like we normally do a bit of like... Well, I want to say preparation, that's not entirely true, but yeah, we normally sit about a bit first and we've just launched straight into this, so sorry about that.
Sort of eager beaver.
Yes, yes, exactly. Because I am also excited, as are you. We've got seven sections today. We've got a little bit of a look back on mid-season. Got two previews for you, that's Prosti Off and Jihlava. Beer of the podcast, hot or not. There's a small quiz that I've got ready for Sam, and we have a new semi-regular feature depending on how well stroke badly it goes. So, is there anything you would like to add before we launch into the mid-season look-attery?
Wouldn't use words like launch at the moment.
Just a quick section this, I think. Just a quick look back at what we've been doing in mid-season. We have brought in some players, which is nice. Can you name those players?
At the moment, no, David.
No, nor could I. I had to look up both of their names.
It's been a strange mid... Like, the bleak mid-winter.
Mm.
It's been a strange one because this, for the first time in a while, I've been sort of distracted away from what's been happening with the club. Due to mostly a combination of work and the situation at Aberdeen being a little bit dire. And normally we would go to several of these pre-season fixtures. We only did one this
yes.
year, which was the 3-1 at quote-unquote home to Vyshkov.
Mm-hmm.
And although we have tweeted about these players and I'm looking forward to seeing them a bit more, I'm sure they will be used quite heavily in our push to go up. I cannot name them.
Well, Philip Blecher, the central midfielder who seems to score a decent amount of goals for a central midfielder. What was he, 8 so far this season, I think?
Yep.
So he's in. He featured a lot in the last 4 games of pre-season, interchanging with Jutka Texel. They clearly play roughly a similar role. They were doing like 45 each. Sort of thing.
Oh, okay. I've not seen much then of him. Like, obviously, I know very much of his record, which was very good at this level, of course, at the first half of the season for Vlashim, if I recall. However, I'm confident that he is a better player than Texel.
Yes. The other name we got in was Honza Nečas, the
which
wide
is,
forward.
Is a good signing.
Yes. We haven't seen much of him. We saw a bit of him in the game against Vyshkov, but he's been... They're introducing him slowly, I think, probably because he hasn't really played for a bit, whereas Blecher is one he could hit the ground running. He's mm-hmm. been playing all season. So there's that. We also, it seems, touch wood, the Kubo-Reznicek injury was not as bad as feared. He's back up and, well, running, you know, as much as he ever does, up and lumbering,
yeah.
Which is nice. Our last 4 friendlies, we won the whole lot of them by a combined score of 12-3. So that was nice. We did that small tour of Slovakia, taking on Dukla Banska Bystrica, Podbrezova, Petržalka, and then we finished with a game against a fellow second division side, Opava, at Srbska the other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, all the goals. Fosek getting a lot.
Fosek.
Your boy Fos.
Yeah, I mean, he's been looking incredibly sprightly during the winter months.
Yes.
So that's really good to see. He sort of runs hot and cold a wee bit, Fosek. So if he can get a good bit of consistency, and Jan Hladík should also be mentioned in this as well, who's been in amongst it.
Yeah, it's basically the 4 attacking midfielder stroke forward players that did so well against Usti, who have been getting all the goals in these last 4 games. So Fos, Prikistal, Shevchik, Hladík, and 1 penalty for Reznicek. So yeah, lovely stuff. I have very little else on there, apart from saying, well, yeah, we played 9 friendlies, won 5, drew 2, lost 2.
Mm-hmm.
Solid enough.
Yeah, pretty good. A good run out, one would
yes.
say. It's the main test, of course, is going to be the league. But we've not actually been in this position ever, let's say, or at least you know, with regards to modern. So there's Brojovka and modern Brojovka in the second league, whereas we're actually going into the second half of the season defending a sizable lead. So what's going to be very interesting is seeing if we can maintain some of the intensity that we saw towards the end of the first part, especially around autumn. And also, I think it's also quite important, and this is, again, very much putting the cart before the horses, perhaps, but assessing where potential weak spots will be for going presumably back up to the top flight of football. Now, the last time we went up, we made it quite clear, actually, on this podcast, and we were at least quite vocal and say that we didn't think that the squad was good enough to compete at that level.
And we were borne out in that assumption.
So I think it's going to be really crucial that, presuming that we start just keeping ticking over, getting the points, I'm expecting clubs to lose more points this this half, especially clubs like Li Shen, who have lost a lot of their big players. You know, we need to start thinking about who's gonna fit where.
Yeah. Yes, as you say, it's interesting being the hare rather than the tortoise at this stage. Normally, we have had a very disappointing start, but yeah, it's been quite good. And yeah, if we, not meaning to tempt fate, but if we blow it from here, then, you know,
that's only ourselves to blame.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
And this is actually why we make a big fuss of always saying on this podcast, you can't really look into things about pre-season other than really a fitness level or who might look, you know, quite good for, you know, coming on as an impact sub or, you know, having good stamina to last 90 minutes and things like that.
Yeah, it's all about fitness and not having anyone break a leg or something.
Actually, when you have, like you said, Fosek and Hladik and Přihistal, you know, across the board scoring goals, despite not having, you know, Kubašesničak there, that's a really good sign.
It is.
This is going to come and bite us back.
Yeah, but we all agreed that one thing we were slightly missing was goals from midfield. Mm-hmm. And as you said, like slightly streaky players such as Fosse not doing as much as he possibly could. So
yeah.
Tentative signs point to happiness come Friday. Do you want to talk about Friday now? Because we can do a preview now.
Got to get down on Friday.
Precisely. So once you've got your bowl and your cereal, then, Friday, early evening at Srpska.
5 o'clock.
Yep.
The return.
Yes.
And we are playing Prostějov.
We are. Of course. One of our bogey teams, actually.
One of our bogey, particularly away.
Yeah.
I don't think we've won in the last three in Prostějov itself.
No.
We've been reasonably competent against them at home.
Right.
I think so. Like, because they're coming in the second half of the season in rude health.
They are, David, aren't they?
Yeah. Yes. So having gotten to fifth in the table, which sounds pretty good, and then you factor in that's actually 2 points behind second, which is still Sparta B. That's pretty for a club that size to get the cliches out.
Yeah,
they're doing pretty well, and you know preseason isn't always, you know, like we just mentioned, doesn't really paint a full picture. But it was quite notable that they did have some quite good victories against Bani Kostrava, Pardubice in the league above. Now, I don't know how full strength those squads were, but I would still argue that a depleted Bani Kostrava side is going to be, you know, a comparable strength to, let's say, something that's going to be at least mid-table down here. Now, the big news is that it's actually in terms of losses rather than who's been acquired, perhaps. So you've got Filip Mucha going to Teplice, who ostensibly is a backup to Tomas Gringar there. Reasonable keeper, Mucha. I don't think he was too bad. Actually, a team that's playing its way out of trouble, Teplice.
Yes. A team who at the bottom of that league is still just the battle not to be Karvina.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Pretty much. They went 12 without a win mid-August to December.
Slightly worried about Zlín, actually.
Zlín looked shaky.
And also, they have just lost Tomasz Poznar to the Polish league, and he was good for 8 goals. He was their top scorer, and he's gone. Mm-hmm. So, Zlín looking possibly wobbly at the bottom of the top division.
It's going to be it's quite tight down the bottom in the first league, actually.
Apart from Karvina.
Yeah. I mean, I'm tempted to say Teplice are fine because they were just awful. Running up to December, and since they returned from the shorter winter break, which is in the top flight, it's been 3 wins and a draw and no losses.
Mm.
So they've really played themselves up, and actually I shouldn't really started with Mucha going. I should have started with Philip Jacques, who's gone, and that's a huge loss because that's their that was their top scorer.
Philip Jacques works in civil service. Philip Jacques.
Very good.
It's steady employment.
I'm getting 2 song references in the podcast. That's fantastic. Because Jacques was a close to a 1-2 centre forward. He was also top scorer with 8, I think, for them. So it's going to be a question of filling in the gaps. I don't think that they've brought on a striker. There's a couple of interesting players. So like Vitnem Rava's come in on a half season loan from Slovatsko. So that's a good goalkeeper. Like, that was ostensibly Slovatsko's first choice the season before last.
I remember Nemrava, yeah.
And I think that he's just fallen out of favour or was injured and then didn't get a look back in. But he seemed pretty good. But he hasn't really in the last sort of calendar year actually seemed to play any football. So that's maybe one thing to point out. But from a Brno perspective, there is the 6-month loan of Dominik Krzyż.
Oh, he's still around, is he?
Yeah, which is a bit more exciting. I'd forgotten that Krzyż is still technically a Victoria Pilsen player.
Yeah,
because he's an okay player for this level, I would argue. Nothing more.
Yeah, he's fine.
Because he's coming off of a half year at Sered in the Slovak top flight, where he had 9 sub appearances and played a little over 2 hours. Half a year, that's not fantastic. This is the problem, right? Because you have Dominik Krzyż back and you have Jan Koudelka back.
Right.
One of these players will score because it's the curse of the returning player, right? So if we know anything about Prostějov, like, they're a reasonably well dogged, organized team.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing, by their standards, really quite well.
They are, yes.
So, I mean, anything that is sort of fifth to eighth it represents a good season for Prostějov with the funding they have, with the support they have. It's a small club, local club.
They're a very shustery team, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So, I mean, maybe they're a bit more expansive now that Schuster's left. I think he's still training in Slovakia. But their organization is still really good. Like, so they'll grind out a 1-0 win against Sparta B, which, you know, they've already done. Their 6 defeats, 4 of them have been away. So that does say something.
Yeah. This just backs up our claim about us being unable to beat them at their place. They're just very, very good at home. So,
They were far better than us, actually, in the away fixture. We couldn't really have had many complaints. So that's something. I've just also remembered that Robert Bartolomeu is still with Prostějov as well.
Yes.
So this is...
Yeah.
We made a joke, I believe, on a podcast about 2 seasons ago of Prostějov being a retirement home for Zbrojovka players. This seems to be bearing fruit once more.
Yeah, still true. Yeah.
But what are you looking to... After, you know, this... You know, months without, you know, any real sort of football, what are you looking to see from this match on Friday?
I would like a comfortable 2-0, I think I can see happening. That seems fine. I would also just, you know, I'd like to see at least one of the new players. I'd like to see Blecha, probably at least for a bit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just a good solid performance to carry on from where we've been in the last 4 friendlies. And also just to be at a football stadium watching football will be lovely. So, yeah, you?
Yeah, I'm keen to see the turnout as well. See how, you know, returning after a successful first half of the season to see if that affects anything to do with turnout. I think if we can keep this as straightforward as possible with no tricks,
yes,
then that would represent some good progress. I'm not expecting us to, although we do, we often do, just sort of absolutely go straight out of the traps for the first month back and then just start scudding teams.
Yeah.
That's not really needed at this point. We're not working up anything in terms of goal difference.
Yeah.
We're not playing catch up to a Budjovica type team.
Yeah.
Like, I think
we don't need that head of steam, as it were. We're just, yeah.
So it has to be a sort of a long game sort of thing. There has to be good squad rotation, especially as Chesney-Cech is out. That will be still, with any of those sorts of injuries as well, it takes some time to reintegrate back into the squad, into regular training, not even talking about regular game time. Mm. So having the goals from other places is certainly positive. I would take 2-0 immediately and just be, you know, one each side of the half and then let, you know, that to happen. But the I want to see how resolute our defence is, because our defence perhaps is still one of our weakest parts of the squad. As much as, you know, players like Endel have been very good, and actually to give him his due, like Hlavica was also I thought pretty solid, you know, especially in around the autumn time. And we, I'd say fair to say, not really convinced by him when he came here. So it's good that he's sort of grown into that sort of role.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'll be looking out for that. And if we can keep a clean sheet, I think that'll be something definitely to look out for. I would rather see us keep a clean sheet in a 2-0 than us, you know, going up 5-3 or 6-2 or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's you know, let's try and just be unremarkable and see ourselves through the first few weeks. And then maybe when we're pretty much out of sight and other teams drop points, we can start, you know, sort of having a bit of fun with it.
Yeah. Right. We'll have a quick break, and then I am going to tell you some remarkable things that I've discovered. Remember after his first goal, a very dramatic goal that sealed that 3-2 win a few months ago, Otakar Holtek, Aztec god Otakar Holtek, was the name on everyone's lips, because that was a really nice goal, a 93rd minute winner.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent stuff. I've actually been looking into the cult of Aztec god Otakar Holtek, and I've discovered he has some remarkable powers. This has been a lot of digging has gone into this, but it appears the cult of Otakar Holtek goes all the way back to the 15th century. And remarkable things have been happening. Otakar Holtek, Otakar Holtek, Otakar Holtek, Otakar Holtek. It turns out, actually, that almost every 2 weeks he reveals even more of his mystical Aztec god powers. I discovered that he can arrive at any public transport stop exactly 10 seconds before the vehicle he needs gets there. Doesn't need EDOS, doesn't need to check out, nothing. That's an incredible power. It'd be quite useful, wouldn't it? I'd like that power. It's quite good.
What's going on?
His citrus fruits never ever rot. That's another thing that the Aztec gods have, you know, given him, which is nice.
This is taking a remarkable turn.
Yeah, and if he feels like it, to make himself clearer, he can subtitle himself. Just in the air underneath. So these are three powers that Aztec god Otakar Holtek has. So that's remarkable, isn't it? Yeah, so
it's certainly opened my eyes.
Yeah, so it's useful to have him on the team, and I'm sure that I will find out much more about him the more research I do.
It's good music though. I like the. Did that actually? Did you like that? I did.
Was
yeah.
That good? Yeah.
It was very much like how I would. It touched the Crash Bandicoots about it. I felt.
Well, that can only be a good thing. So yeah, that's us learning about Ottakar Holtec, and certainly we'll be learning more about him as the season progresses. Ottakar Holtec, 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 Ottakar Holtec.
Of the podcast.
Good. Nice intro. Like it. So today's beer of the podcast is...
Looks stouty or portery.
It is. It is a stout. It is from the Proud Brewery, which we have had before. A couple of years ago, I think we had either their IPA or their APA a few years ago, before. This is their stout,
and it's called...
Pleasingly, it's called Kotel.
Okay, good.
Which is, but spelt with a C rather than a K. Uh-huh. But it's a 14 degree, so 5.2%. And yes, it looks very, very dark and malty and so forth. So, it's a really nice bottle, really nice label. It's almost like a wine bottle, it looks like, and it says Irish Dry Stout on the label.
Getting coffee. I'm getting a bit of coffee.
Hmm. Ooh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, coffee and the sort of... Yeah, sort of molasses-y sweetness of things.
Chocolate
yeah.
Nibs.
Chocolate nibs.
Yeah. This is...
Smells nice, actually, yeah. Anyway, let's have a go on this. See what you think. You go first and give me your opinion thereof.
Yeah, that's a winner, David. That's a winner.
Hmm. Yeah. It's got a really nice, like, bitter ending to it, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's very, very bitter on the finish, actually.
Yeah.
Which is good. Not actually... as some
ooh,
stouts,
it gets really chocolatey later on, doesn't it?
As some stouts want to be not overly sweet as well. It's not that cloying sort of... What were they called back in the day? You used to have those sachets of like hot chocolate and they had different flavours of them and stuff. They were called something like Moments or Sensations or something like that.
I don't know.
A lot of stout,
that sounds
stouts
right.
Are
that
like,
sounds,
a bit like
that.
That
sounds like it was a thing, yeah. Yeah, very easy to start with and then... Yeah, you get real, like, dark chocolate.
Mm.
Slightly spiky finish. It's really, really nice. Yeah, lovely.
That's good. You could get into that as well. You could get really into that, and then I think the bitterness would go, and then you'd end up having four, and then mistakes will be made.
This is on Rolik, and it's, for the 0.7, it's about 90 crowns.
That's not
or
terrible
something, which
at
is
all
very good indeed. So,
a
yeah, so if you're in this country and you have access to Rolik and like doing
if you're
your,
in the area.
Yes. Yeah, that's that. It was very, yeah, good. Pleased with that.
No, I'm very, very satisfied with your choice for this this podcast.
Yeah. While we continue to drink this, would you like a quiz? I've prepared for you a quiz.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that. Right, quiz time. It's a quiz for you here, Sam. Five questions on its Czech football club crests, but general knowledge about them, not necessarily about what they look like.
Right. But
things surrounding them. You'll see what I mean when we get going.
Okay.
Okay.
This sounds quite fascinating, actually.
The idea was fascinating. Then I ran out of questions. So there are two that I'm quite pleased with. The rest were a bit barrel scrapey.
On the fly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So question one. Sparta Prague changed their badge to one with a black background.
Yes, they did.
That kept the three blocks of colour underneath the S.
Yes.
What are those three colours?
It's yellow, blue and red.
Very good. Yes, that was a nice easy opener to start there. Yellow, blue and red is correct. Question two. Why do Bohemians have a kangaroo on their badge? As wide an explanation as possible, please.
Okay, right. I might get the year wrong here, David, but I want to say 1909.
You have got the year wrong, yeah.
Okay. Is it just 1913? Is it actually just when...
No.
Okay,
no.
Right. Okay. Well, it's 1900-something.
It's 1927.
Okay, right. So I'm wrong. Okay, so, you know, just a couple of decades out there. Basically, the team went on a tour of Australia,
That's correct, as far as I'm aware.
They played a couple of matches and they were quite taken in by the Australian people. And I believe they were gifted a kangaroo, as you're wont to do at that time. You did things like gift people kangaroos and stuff like that.
Two kangaroos, in fact.
And both of which were taken back and put in the Prague Zoo.
That's right, yes.
So I believe that's where the... that's all I can tell you on the origin.
That's good. Do you remember what they were called before they changed their name to Bohemians?
I do not.
They were just AFK Vršovice.
That would make sense.
But as a one of the terms of the agreement, because the Australian Sporting Federation asked a bunch of European teams to do an Australian tour, all of them said no. Mm-hmm. Apart from AFK Vršovice, who, to make it easier for the Aussies to pronounce and to give them a bit of geographical sense, they changed their name to Bohemians.
That makes sense now.
Yeah. So, yes, partial credit. No, actually, yeah, full credit, I would say. No detail. You can get a bonus point if you can tell me on the badge which direction does the kangaroo face. Is he looking left or right?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. I think he is looking left.
And you'd be absolutely right. Well, he is looking left, yes.
Well, when you usually wind up by you'd be absolutely, it's usually wrong. So that's good.
All right. Question three. What is the name of the mountain featured on Slovan Liberec's badge?
Yes, Dad.
Very good. It's the mountain and what other feature?
It's the mountain and it's the big pointy thing. It's like a statue. No, it's not a statue, a sculpture. I think it's actually a weather station.
It's a TV tower, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So the mountain goes across the badge and then on the top there's the very famous sort of 1960s TV transmitter thing that sits on top of Yeshjed. Very good. Well,
I'd quite like to go up. It's just a while away to get to Liberec.
It is. It might be one of those things where if we go up next season, it might be worth spending a bit of time in the surrounding countryside because it's very pretty.
It would be a sort of do it on the morning if you stayed the night sort of thing, I think. Because apparently it's not too arduous to get up.
No, it's not. I can't remember if it's like the sort of fifth or sixth highest mountain. I don't know. But even that is not massively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've walked up the highest mountain in this country in the middle of winter, in the deep snow, in jeans and Converse. So if I manage that, I reckon I could take Yeshjed in like the spring.
I think you'd be okay.
Would probably be fine. All right, question number four. How many colours feature on the badge of Victoria Pulzane?
That's a really good question.
Because it is a weird one. It's a very asymmetric badge.
I think there's five.
Right. Do you want to name those colours?
Okay, blue definitely.
Yes.
Red.
Mm-hmm.
White.
Mm-hmm.
Black.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow.
Yes.
Are there any more?
There's one more.
I think I'm going to be wrong, but I'm just going to go with it. No, or am I? My first reaction was that if there's another one, it'll be green. But I think I'm right. I'll go with green.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes, six colours. Blue, red, white, black, yellow, and green. It's that weird bit in the bottom right where the ball kind of goes swoopily.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And there's a weird overlap with blue, with yellow and green in the bottom right corner, it's a weird badge.
It's a very strange badge, isn't it?
It is, yeah. All right, and question five. What does the central element of Zbrojovka Brno's badge represent?
Well, it would represent Zbrojovka, the arms manufacturer, right?
Right. But why is it that specific shape? And
well, I mean, it was the logo of it, right? It was the logo of Zbrojovka.
Yes, but why is that the logo? Is more my question.
Why is that the logo?
Yes. It represents something very specific.
I'm going to bow out with my 4 out of 5 and let you take the wheel here.
Okay. It is the rifling inside of a gun barrel, because bullets need to spin to go in a straight line.
Yeah.
So the lines around it's an outer circle, an inner circle, and there are curved lines between the two, which is the rifling inside of a gun barrel.
Genuinely upset that I didn't get all 5 now.
Well, but there you go. And the only one you've fallen on is our club. So, alas.
It feels like... This is like half a fan today, isn't it? I don't know who we signed. I know where the badge comes from.
Ah, never mind. I've got a bonus true or false question.
False.
No, it's true. Right, true or false. The horse on the Pardubitzer badge has a rider on its back.
I don't think it does. I'm going to say false.
Correct.
Yeah,
it is false. Yeah.
There you go.
Just a mighty bucking head. Bucking head.
That's a pub somewhere in like Little Spliffington or whatever, isn't it? The bucking head.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. If I open up a pub to follow up on the Moss and Flannel, which is my original pub name, the Bucking Head is definitely,
Bucking Head. I mean,
sister pub.
So
in the village of Upton Dupton.
Upton Dupton.
Little Wombling.
Little Wombling. That's quite a good one.
Yeah.
Look, here comes the fire department. Hugh, Barney McGrew.
Barney McGrew.
I mean, I'm not English.
that much is clear. Anyway.
Was that Trumpton or Camberwick Green?
That was Trumpton, Pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert Dibble and Grub. Under the command of Captain Snort.
Captain Snort.
Yes, was the head of the fire department in Trumpton.
Very, very good.
Was it Captain Snort? I'll look it up. Anyway.
You're ancient, aren't you?
I'm not as old as Trumpton. I didn't see Trumpton. That was before my time. Just. Right, up next, Hot or Not. Oh, it's hot. Dun, dun, dun. Well, maybe it's not. Dun, 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 dun. Everybody that's on the pod... they're producing some hot or nots. It's hot. Maybe it's not. No.
Right, people are going to hate me for this, but a lot of the songs from that era sound the same.
Yes.
So... I was trying to go, like, is it Tutti Frutti or is it, like, Goodness Gracious Great Balls of Fire? I think it's
Everybody Neither. That's on the pod.
Oh, it's Jailhouse Rock.
It is Jailhouse Rock. Okay. And I think I'm going to use the Blues Brothers version rather than the Elvis Presley version.
There's a Blues Brothers version.
Yes, it was the... it was the song that played over the final credits because... spoiler alert, if you've never seen a film from 1981, they finish up back in jail. And,
I see. Did they start in jail?
Elwood starts in jail, yes. Or, no, Jake starts in jail, sorry. Elwood comes to pick him up. But the reason that version is so good and the reason the entire Blues Brothers soundtrack is so good, there's a double CD set of an actual live performance they did, is the backing band in the Blues Brothers is basically the Stax House Band. So some of them were in Booker T and the MGs, and they and the rest were like Stax session musicians. So they're fucking incredible. So I'm going to play that as the outro music, I think. So,
stuff.
Yeah. So, hot or not, I've got two hots and a not, but one of my hots is very, 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 very short.
All right, I've got one each.
Okay. I'll do my very, very quick hot, just because I saw it on Twitter today. Possibly my favourite insult of all time. It's nothing to do with football, but somebody called Nigel Farage a bollock-faced foghorn of ignorance. Which I think is possibly one of the greatest insults of all time. I think that's wonderful.
That is very good.
Yeah.
That's
my very quick hot. Pick one of yours then.
Okay, I'll go for a hot, which is Dundee FC highlight videos.
Okay.
So I sometimes forget that, or at least it seems to me, that Dundee Football Club supporters are just permanently seething. Permanently enraged. And a lot of this is very much to do with their team just being awful this season. And I would say there's a very strong chance of them going down. But also, I forget that when Dundee are at home and having less fans there because Dundee are shite right now, that the microphone picks up a lot of stuff.
Right. And
this is, I mean, I'm not even talking, you know, like hashed together sort of highlight video. This is the official SPFL highlight videos from this Saturday, which ended up Dundee 0, Livingston 4. There's a lot of St. Mirren-esque booing. Particularly, some people will just go up and just say, boo, like that, which is great. As demonstrated at 1 minute 18 in the video, where someone just says, boo, this is rubbish, which is good. After every single goal in the first half, and there were three of them, there's this Dundonian child who is, you know, basically inaudible or intelligible. I mean, like most Dundee children, but in this case, so once a goal goes in, like 50 people go boo, and then this kid just goes ay, like that every single time. It's fantastic. And then just at the end, like quite audibly, I listened to it 4 or 5 times just to make sure I was hearing what I thought it was, which is someone just going, Dundee, you are fucking shit. So yeah, I was fair, quite pleased fair, about yeah. that. God, they're terrible. They just look so bad this season.
Mm.
And getting in a manager who is serving a 6-game touchline ban and, you know, has not got very high stock in Scottish football seemed to me rather strange.
Who is their manager?
Mark McGee.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. I had a weird sense you were going to say Mark McGee, but yeah, that's...
Mark McGee, yes. I mean, as a player, like an Aberdeen legend, but just the, like, one of the worst managers I've ever seen us. On like, the one manager that's made me visibly just angry.
Right.
Like, when we went and we went to Celtic Park and we lost 9-0, which is, you know, still a recent memory.
Oh, this quote.
Yeah, where he goes in and his basically his opening gambit is, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's 3 points. Like, fuck off. Absolutely fuck off. So, like, Muttley is not a good manager. I worry for Dundee. I don't care if they get relegated. But, I mean, I will say that Dundee away is a far superior day out to Dundee United away. Mostly because their fans are perma-seething idiots.
Right.
Anyway, if you come from Dundee, tough. David.
if you come from Dundee, I feel for you, basically, yeah.
I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems, but employment in the Duke trade ain't one.
Sounded a bit like Muttley myself there. Sorry about that. It was a wheezing laugh. I've got a knot. And we discussed this very briefly with Ben in the pub yesterday, and it's Birmingham City rebranding to Small Heath Alliance one game.
Yes.
Because a drama show that should have, I want to say, peaked some years ago.
I've never seen it.
I watched the first 5 or 6 episodes and lost patience with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Peaky Blinders, if you don't know. To be fair, Birmingham City were originally called Small Heath Alliance, but that is no excuse. And also, how does the Football League allow this? It seems odd that you can just... I mean, obviously, it's not a like a proper name change, but I assume maybe they had it on school. But it just, it feels odd, and it feels very Diddy Club.
It does,
to
doesn't
your,
it?
To, like, for your, frankly, fairly big club that is tanking right now,
yeah,
to get this tiny bit of pointless glory. And, like, why have... You know, I think there was a reason no other Midlands teams decided to do this, and the fact that it's, you know, it's also filmed in Liverpool and Derby and not Birmingham.
It's a bit cringeworthy,
isn't it? It is, yeah. It's just, oh, fuck, yeah. No, I no, I'm not having it.
Not really into that pattern,
no.
Frankly.
No.
No, I have it.
Yeah. That's my... I mean, you know, Birmingham City generally are a pretty big knot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For you, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that's me. Do you have one other?
Yeah, I've got a knot.
Yep.
Scotland.
just in life in general?
The Scotland national football team.
Right.
So we're going to be the bad guys. We're going to be the bad guys in a couple of weeks where we play Ukraine in the World Cup playoff.
Right.
We are going to have every single person cheering for Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And when we scud them, we're going to be seen as, you know, like we're next in line at the Kremlin.
Right.
Not having it.
Yeah.
As much as this is a jokey thing, what is happening in Ukraine is legitimately one of the worst things that I've seen in a long time. And
yeah,
it's an absolute disgrace that the international community isn't actually offering more more support than it is. But still, I don't think that we can offer the support of rolling over to them, where Scotland are uniquely in a position where we might qualify for a World Cup for once.
Yeah, that's that really... that. Yeah.
The anti-imperialist line.
Yeah, I was going to say, rock, hard place, Scotland. Dear me. That's, yeah, that's rough.
Good.
Not as rough as it is for everyone in Ukraine, but still.
The NATO membership derby.
Yeah. Good. Massive shout out to our mate Ben, by the way, for going with his partner Yulia all the way to Košice on an overnight train to pick up her family members and then come all the way back in basically what was a 24-hour overnight dash. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well done. Well done, sir. Anyway, that's the last of that for this episode, because I'm going to finish off with this one hot, which I'm overjoyed to have found, and you're going to really enjoy it, I think.
Good.
My hot is Dr. Gert Diga 23. It will mean nothing to you right now.
Once
but
more in with feeling.
Dr. Gert Diga 23. Right, now, let me tell you a short story. In the year 2000, do you remember Raul Tamudo?
No.
Okay, he is an Espanyol legend. As a centre forward, 400 odd appearances over 13 years for Espanyol, okay, right? In 2000, a 20-year-old Raul Tamudo very nearly signed for Rangers after he'd been ripping it up at the Olympics the previous year. The club doctor recommended that he not be signed due to what he thought was a knee problem. So Raul Tamudo stayed at Espanyol, becomes an absolute club legend. And what I've discovered just recently is Espanyol's official ultras club are named after the doctor who told Rangers not to sign Raul Tamudo. Dr. Gert Jan Goosvaard, if my Dutch is as good as I think it is.
How did you find this?
I can't remember where I found this, but that was I was very pleased with that.
That's sensational.
Yeah. So yeah, Dr. Gert Diga 23 is, yeah, the name of the doctor and the number that Tamudo played in, and that's the name of the Ultras fan club.
You're right, I do like that.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah, I thought you would. Right, in a couple of weeks we've got an away game. How exciting. And it's one of the best away games as well. It's Jihlava. Should we talk about that?
Yes. Jihlava, eh?
Yes.
Friday the 11th, eh?
Is it also a Friday as well?
At 3:30 in the afternoon scheduled, eh?
Is it really?
It's scheduled at 3:30 in the fucking afternoon.
Well, that's rubbish.
I am fully expecting this to change. However, it is scheduled for that point. I would rather not have to take a full day off. I probably would have anyway. So we're okay.
Yeah. It's only a day, isn't it?
Well, I'll have to see, because then the week after, then I'm taking like 8 days off. I'm going back to Scotland.
It's only a day, isn't it? Anyway.
It's only a day, so put up a real good fight. last few years you have been shite. Did you ever watch Big Break with disgraced racist comedian Jim Davidson?
I never did. I was aware that it was on, but I can honestly say I've never, ever sat through an entire episode of Big Break. I know the theme tune, and I know that it had that lad in it, and also John Virgo.
John Virgo, of course. Yes. He did the trick shot. Trick shot! Duh! And it had other you know, people on it as well, you know, like pros. And
you remember when English Saturday Night or British Saturday Night TV was basically pub games? So Big Break, Bullseye, that's it.
The Generation Game. Can you remember stuff going on a revolving thing? I mean, just throughout the
This is turning into, do you remember? Yeah. You remember Bullseye, do you?
When you're at the checkout and you hear the beep, join us next time on Supermarket Suite.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's daytime stuff.
Let's get back to Ye Flubber, can we?
Dale Winton, wasn't
this it? This is, you know, bringing up my PTSD.
Now, he sounds like a really crap Brazilian player, doesn't he? Dale Winton.
Yeah.
Joe Linton.
Joe Linton and Dale Winton. Good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ye Flubber.
I mean, thinking about Ye Flubber.
Yes.
Right. It's quite interesting, because Ye Flubber at the end of halfway through 2018, I suppose, the end of the 17-18 season, very similar to that of Zbrojovka. So we went down, they went down. I mean, they were, I think, 6 points better than us, but both went down. Both then had, I would say, reasonably successful attempts at getting back up, both being in the playoffs, us third, them second, both getting, sort of pretty much cheated out of a spot in the top flight. For all we've talked about the, the disgrace that happened in Příbram, there was also very dodgy refereeing decisions against Karviná, who they were playing. And then basically since then, the similarities have stopped. Again, started brightly the season after and had a comfortable, I think, 6-7 points on us from second and third place. And what can only be as one of the biggest collapses I've actually seen of a club, you know, in the same league that I, you know, that I had a team in. It was really quite something. And I think they finished something like seventh in the end.
Absolutely plummeted, didn't they? Yeah. And then the incredible shedding of players that happened.
I mean,
hemorrhaging players.
Got rid of everyone. And then while we were obviously not having the greatest of times in during the top flight's COVID season, which was, you know, mercifully deprived us of having to actually go and watch them. Ye Flubber were for quite a good part of that season flirting with relegation, which is for a club that has been a mainstay at the top of the second tier and the, you know, quite long forays into the top flight was really quite something. And it's not been very impressive for them at all. Last season, we were still up. You remember the two teams met in the cup, I think, in the second round. And that was really one where I think Zbrojovka made hard work of it. Huffed and puffed.
Yeah.
Ye Flubber looked actually quite good. We got incredibly lucky to score very late. I think it was like 85th minute or so in a 1-0 victory.
Yeah, on a very dusty, rough pitch where it was a horrible game of football.
Yeah, it wasn't good at all. And actually, quite different was when we actually met in August, start of the new season this year, where I felt we were comfortable 4-0 victors.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was the... and actually that, funnily, you know, came off a very bruising 2-0 away defeat to Prostějov.
Yeah.
So Jihlava at the moment are just like the definition of an average team.
Mm-hmm.
So 10th, 5 wins, 5 losses.
Good.
5 draws. Now, they're... The big like departure, I guess, from them, the one that was getting a couple of the newspaper headlines was Karol Pojezny, who's a proper pleasingly in Czech as well, a stopper.
Right, yes.
Was bought by Baník Ostrava, I think, for something in the region of I think the move value was something, or the sale was about 200,000 euros, whatever that is in crowns these days. I was immediately, he's been farmed out to Pardubice for the end of the season. So, but obviously, I would like to focus on Tijani Belaid.
Right.
Which is an insane signing for them.
Uh-huh.
Tijani Belaid, Inter Milan, 2 titles with Slavia, season at Hull City, season at Union Berlin, several seasons at Club African.
And has somehow found his way.
20 caps for Tunisia.
Incredible.
I have no idea how this happened. I've just no idea how this has happened. He's 34, so
but
I mean
still,
the twilight of one's
still,
career.
That's incredible.
But I mean, yeah, it started out at Inter, I should say. Like, so I think he played like 5 times, and then had a. I think he had a loan spell like PSV Eindhoven, like that.
Wow.
Like, he was really, really solid at Slavia. Like, and he, you know, a sort of pacey attacking midfielder. You can watch some proper super cut videos of him on YouTube, ostensibly by Tunisian YouTubers,
mm-hmm.
who have got the, you know, all the angles and all the goals to that awful, you know, sort of sort of music. So it feels big time. It feels marquee. And for this league, which, let's be real, is often shite, to have somebody like that, I think that's kind of fun. Obviously, he's done this because he has that background of playing in Czech football before, and I think it's just wanting one last
and
jolly.
Also, he loves biathlon. Absolutely loves the cross-country skiing and the shooting. Absolutely mad for it.
I thought you meant the shop.
No.
Biathlon. I mean...
Yeah, he likes lower end of the market bicycles. Yeah. That's also a thing.
I mean, they also got a couple of quite good defenders, I believe. But to be honest, I didn't even look that much into that because I was like, that is, like... That's a site, like, if, you know, if we signed somebody like that even, I would sort of put to the side... The fact that he's probably crocked and probably slow and probably going to, you know, give you 2 assists.
Yeah.
And then
their Tunisian fan club membership is going to go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely through the roof. Getting those sweet, sweet North African likes on their social medias. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, actually, feels box office. I'm for it. Hopefully they move this game to a couple of hours later. That would be ideal because obviously who wants to 3:30 on a Friday? It's going to be a very poor turnout for obvious reasons. But really, like, for me, Jihlava is one of the best away days
in
Czech football. Because, I mean, for us, it's close. You can get back on the day. There's an array of really quite, you know, decent pubs in Jihlava. People are nice. The stadium is a bit of character to it. Best mascot, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I like the fact that there's no... Like, even though it's sort of a derby, they're about an hour apart. It's not really a derby. Like, nobody... But that's it. Like, it's close enough to be easy to get to, but it's not so much of a derby that there's any beef. Like, it's fun, but neither set of fans really cares about the other. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Yeah, it's nice, it's fun... The turnout of Zbrojovka fans is normally good because it's relatively close, but yeah, nice little ground. You walk through that little bit of park to get there. It's
you know, eminently within walking distance of all the public transport to get back to Brno as well.
It's over the road from the bus station,
so it's perfect. So very good. Looking forward to that match.
Mm.
And really, I think, you know, to just sort of end this on a positive note, isn't it great that we're going to have football back? And then actually... we're in this position where we're not, you know, worried per se. And we're sort of looking forward to seeing just how the team can perform.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Hear, hear. Anyway, that's...
20 caps for Tunisia. Fuck.
Anyway, that's it, I think, for this episode of Sporovcast, unless you've got anything to add. No?
I'm just...
You're still... You're
taken by that sign.
You're reeling, aren't you?
I just think... Banter levels, you know? Like, it's just that sort of, like... Just, even if you don't think he's going to be any good, you just get him in a free and just, like, hey! Like, awesome! Very into it.
Yeah. Right, yes, so that's it for this episode.
Three goals as well for Tunisia in those 20 caps.
Well, there you go.
Oh, sorry, trying to finish the show.
Well,
the show.
You can carry on by yourself if you want. I don't know.
Patreon, Sporovcast Extra.
Follow us on all the socials. We're at Sporovcast, as always. Let us know what you think. And yes, football is back, and we will be reporting on it again in a couple of weeks' time. So until then, we'll see you when we see you, listener. Thank you very much. That's us out.
Bye. Hold on.